Dad moved to the hills when I could barely walk or talk. He cleared a stand of cedar, built a home of native rock. Now my daddy is a lawyer, but the daddy I recall wore boondock boots and a khaki shirt and a sweat-stained farm straw. And his dreams are in the hills, in the limestone rim rock cedar breaks, home of the deer and the whippoorwill. Seep spring damp on the canyons, thick with yopon open elm. Daddy's dreams are in the hills.
Must tell the tale about when I bought the Strota tract. That's 200 acres of land that lies, it has a dam site on it. Tom Miller Dam is on the east end of it, and Knob Hill Circle is on the west end of it. And then the north line run on the north side of Bee Creek, where the West Lake Drive goes east and west over there. That was the Larson Ranch. And then the south line goes right down where Skyline Drive is, and that was the 200 acres. Now, I had abstracted that, and I'd gone up on top of the mountain where George Putnam now lives, and I had me a little compass, and I'd sight it and try to get the dimensions, and I sighted down it's in 1939 or 40, I sighted down the way it's supposed to go, and I saw that if the line went straight, it would go south of the dam site. And that was when we'd heard that they were going to put the dam in, and I was interested in trying to find some of this land over there by it if I could get it. And so then I abstracted and found out it belonged to the heirs of a Professor Stroder, who had been a university professor years before, and he had gone somewhere, and his children had gone at the end of the where the wind had scattered them. And he had tried to, he bought it to put an orange orchard up there at one time. Well, that didn't work, of course. And so I found out one of the Stroder girls worked for the Stewart Title Company in Galveston. So I contacted her, and I want to know what she would take for the land. And of course she wrote me a letter and told me that she would take, I believe, $2,000 for the 200 acres. That was $10 an acre. And that was just before they were going to rehabilitate this dam. And I knew that was a bargain. But at that time, there was no way to get to it. The West Lake Drive was not in, and the Redwood Trail was not down to where it went. And there just was no way to get to it. The only way you could see it was from the east side of the lake. And so she wrote me this letter, and my brother Polk was not too anxious about me going into this land business at that time. He thought I was spending too much time on that than I was on the law practice. But I knew this was a buy. And so I knew E.G. Kingsbury, and E.G. was a wheeler and a dealer then, and I'd represent him some. So I got old man E.G. to get in the car with me one day, and I took him out there. The day is the day that I got that letter, because I knew it was time to move. And so we drove out to where the LCRA building is now. And I pointed over there, and I showed him where just about where the 200 acres is going to be. And I said, they're going to build this dam. And these people, I showed him the letter. I said, they'll sell this for $200 for $2,000. And I said, there's just no way to lose on that. Well, old E.G., he's always rather cautious. And he said, well, let me think it over tonight. Well, I got to worrying about it. I thought, well, this ain't no time to think. Now, that piece of land is worth the money. And so I went to see my brother Polk, in spite of the fact that I knew he didn't approve of what I was doing. And I told Polk what the situation was and showed him the letter. And old Everett Looney was officing with us, and he wasn't a partner, but he listened in a little bit, and he thought it was a pretty good deal. So it was about 2 o'clock in the evening when I got E.G. back. Anyway, we was able to get in the bank, the American National Bank, and we went to see Ed Rosinger. And we told Ed what the deal was and showed him the letter that these people had let us buy that land. And he said, what about the title? Well, we didn't know anything about the title. I knew generally that they owned it. Well, he said, I don't think the land's worth it. I wouldn't loan any money on that at all. But said, Polk said, you've got some diamonds there that Mr. Norwood sold to you. He said, I know about that. I'll loan you the $2,000 on the diamonds. And so Polk agreed to put them up for half interest in the land. And so then I wired immediately that day and wired the Stoder girl that we'd take the deal. And so we made that deal at $2,000 an acre, but we had a lawsuit over before we got through, and finally had to pay $3,000 for the 200 acres. Now then, then I went for the city council. Mr. E.G. Bartholomew, I remember, was on the council, and Tom Miller was the mayor, and Guyton Morgan was the manager, city manager, and I told him that I had bought this Stroder land, and I thought I owned the dam site. They said, no, the old man James is the one that owns the dam site. And so this fellow named James owned some the land south of this, and he lived in Brownsville, Lee B. James. And so the city council and I, we had a little closed session, and Mr. Simon Gillis was on it, I remember that. And they said, well, we want to be sure now we get the dam site. Now, Emmett, you sell us the dam site if you own it, but to be sure now, you go down to Brownsville and try to buy the 110 acres from Mr. James that lies south of it. And that's where the filtration plant is now, and Redbud Trail runs through the middle of it. So that's in 39 or 40. But anyway, I had my limitation. I was to go down and spend $2,000 on this 100 and some odd acres, 50 whatever it was that Mr. Lee James had. And so I drove down to Brownsville, and I contacted Mr. James, and he had his office in the lobby of the El Jardín Hotel there. Big old red-faced Irishman, and he was hard as nails. And I got in there early one morning. Of course, I got there, I got to Brownsville the night before, and for some reason or other, I had a good time in Mexico, and I wasn't feeling too good the next morning, but I got up to my business, and I went over there, and Mr. James was talking to a client when I got in the lobby, and finally got around to me, and I told him who I was, that I was a rancher from Travis County up there in Austin, and I needed a way to get out to the river for my cattle, get a little water. And that I was prepared to offer him $2,000 for this acreage that he had there. Well, I kept a notice on his desk that day. There was a San Antonio Express, and on the left-hand front page, the column, there was a column called Think, and it was an editorial. And that editorial, I could read it. I could have read it a half mile away, but it got talking about all the value that's going to take place on these on the Colorado River when they built all these dams that they're building. And I thought, if that man hadn't read that, I've got a chance. If he's read it, I'm lost. And that was right in front of him. And so when the other man left, I jumped in, I started talking to him about this deal that I had, and he said, well, I can't take less than $2,500. Well, I said, now, I don't have that much on him, but let me go back over to the hotel and call my banker. Of course, my banker was Tom Miller, the mayor of Austin. And so I got back to the hotel room, and I called Tom, and I got him, and I told him, I said, now, if that old boy is not busy between now and the time I get back over at his office, and he reads that editorial, we're not going to buy that land at all. And I said, you better give me a little better limit than $2,000 to spend on that land. And so Tom said, go buy it. And so I went back over there, and sure enough, somebody had gotten his lap just quick as I left, and he hadn't had a chance to pick up the paper yet. So we signed a contract. Before we ever looked at the newspaper, that I was going to pay $2,500 for this James tract. And so we signed it, and we tied it up, and then we had a survey. And when we had a survey, a little question came up at the council meetings that I had kind of made a misrepresentation that the dam site would be on the James tract. And, of course, I hadn't told him anything like it. Actually, I had the dam site and the storage track and already had made a deal to sell it to him. But I never will forget that Mr. E.C. Bartholomew come to my help. He said to the county, he said, now, I was in here when Emmy told y'all that he owned the dam site and you might just go buy the James tract out of a matter of precaution. And he said, how much money have the city got in this deal, including Emmett's commission for the thing? And they told him about $2,800. He said, now, Mr. Miller, talking to the mayor, and later on I became kin to him, of course. But he said, now, if you'll just figure out every nickel the city's got into it, I'll give you a check for it right now. Well, Mr. Bartholomew hadn't become the banker that he was at the Austin National Bank without having good sense. And so all of them revived their thinking and decided the city of Austin made a pretty good deal. And you look back at it, and you see the land on either side of Redbud Trail that runs all the way from Little Bee Creek to the dam, and the filtration plants on it, you'll see that they did make a pretty good deal at $2,500. A matter of interest, of historical interest in the area out here would be this. Right after the Civil War, when the famous Texas gunman Ben Thompson, when he wasn't a city marshal and he was running his gambling houses and killing Yankee soldiers, he'd have to run hide when he'd do something bad in Austin. And of course, at that time, as I say, the limits of the city of Austin was Shoal Creek would be an extended limits. And that is long before they ever thought of Lake McDonald or thought of anything. But Bee Creek itself, Big Bee Creek, you go back through the mouth of it, where Lake Austin is now, and turn up Little Bee Creek, you'll find the Bee Springs back in there. The lake covers back up to where they are now, but the mouth of that canyon of Little Bee Creek, where it runs into Big Creek, was always called Ghost Canyon, so far as we knew. because of the way the wind had whistled down through it when the south wind was blowing high. But old man Ben Thompson, he was a young man, he did get to be an old man before he got killed, but he was the most famous gunman in Texas at that time, and he would he'd get into trouble with the local law enforcement officers, and he'd have to go hide for a while. Well, he'd ride out through the brush of West Austin and cross over the river there and drive up and ride his horse off up and camp there on Bee Springs, and that in Major Buck Walton's memoirs of him, he tells about where Mr. Thompson would hide until the things cooled off a little bit and he'd come back to town. But that was the area where he hid, and he was, I'm sure he made a living by hunting deer and things like that with his pistol, because he could shoot better with a pistol than with a rifle. But when we owned the Prentice house on Terrace Mountain Drive, Jeff was out on the lot adjoining where the Prentice house was, cleaning up the brush one day, cleaning up the grass, and he was digging around and he found an old quarter. It was minted in 1850-something. And I have always thought that that quarter was probably lost by either Ben Thompson or one of his friends when they were up here hiding, because it would have been in their pockets about 15 years later, or 10 or 15 years after it was minted. There was one interesting thing about my purchase of the Stroder tract and selling the 25 acres down where the dam site is to the city of Austin. It shows how close we had to play our marbles to our cards to our chest in those days. My deal with the city of Austin on the 25 acres was if they were to get the land from the mouth of Little Bee Creek on around to, down to the lake and then on down to Tom Miller Dam and to my south line and come way on back up to the south line of the Stroder Tract to the Little Bee Creek and then down Little Bee Creek. And that was about 25 acres. That's called the nature, part of the nature trail now. And the rule is then was that like it is now, that when a city or a county owes a man any money and get ready to pay him, then they got to look on the tax rolls and see whether he owes them any money, and that's always subtracted. Well, the city of Austin was to give me $1,500 for this 25 acres, and Paul Wakefield had already bought 10 acres for another $1,000, so I had $2,500 up to pay off this $3,000 that I owed the Stroder heirs, and we'd borrowed, gotten down to where we didn't have to borrow but $500 from Ed Rowe on Polk's Diamond, so we had most of the money in the bank or promised to us before we had to pay the Stroders there. Well, I went off up to get my check from the city of Austin and got Morgan had it cut out about $150. He was the city manager. And he said, Emmett, that your law firm hadn't paid us any taxes, the city, any taxes on the law books and furniture for the last 10 or 15 years. And so the law requires us to take out your taxes and before we can give you this money that we owe you. And I told him, I said, well, God, I got to have every nickel of mine, or I can't make this deal. We're not going to get the land if you don't, because I've got it closed, cutting it that thin. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do now. You give me a post-dated check, and I won't run it through. You have a chance to get out and make some arrangements to get you $150. And you go on and give the deed, and I'll give you a check then for the $1,500 so you can make your deal. And that's the way we did that. I bought that land with the $1,500 the city of Austin gave me, and I owed them and gave them a post-dated check for the taxes that I owed them.
Daddy's dreams are in the hills. Daddy's dreams are in the hills.